taking a little longer than we thought, but it is definitely very important. And I think so. What did we say? We're going to cap. The midterm is coming up Wednesday. We're going to have a regular year on Monday, maybe even a little longer, if we can't finish up a couple things. But I guess, to be fair, thank you. In terms of the Chena part of it, we should probably cap after today. That's the that makes sense. Sorry about that. Anyways, so we will try to do that, but we still have to finish up on Monday and then Thursday. We'll try to finish up whatever we have left on Mumar Lavar Zara, Mumar Lechalas HaShabbos, which we'll talk about today, their relationship. And then, of course, Mumar Lechalas Tarikula is a separate category. And then it's on the other things we need to finish up. The Ola Chatos Mishnah, and of course the whole Mishnah Melech thing, which is massive. And then I want to talk about, let's say after that, start looking into the, you know, the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and Psachim and, you know, Balamor and other Rishonim here on Tachlifei Avodah Zarah. That I want to do quickly. And then move on to other Chashud issues. Oh, I think the main Gemara I forgot. Do we have an Erevin? Not the main Gemara, but... Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so I think what we were discussing... First of all, just a comment before we start. Mm-hmm. Who brought to my attention Yisurei Bia? Was that you, Moshe? So that, again, this is the language of the Rambam. Can I not bring that either? Like, what are all the books if it's not... Right, Micha? So many books and not even the right ones. It's totally a fraud. Okay, so... So in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Yisurei Bia, when the Rambam discusses Geirus, and again, just to make it clear, of course, all these different contexts, you would expect that they would be dealing with this question. In other words, Hilchos Tshuva, of course, and, you know, of course, Moridin, and, you know, all the different contexts. So one of the places where you would be expecting to encounter all this is in Geirus, right? What's a more sensitive moment and a more critical moment, you know, to prioritize, you know, what is, you know, essential, core, definitional, you know, to commitment and to Kedushas Yisrael than in the context of Geirus. What's so fascinating when you look at the Gemaras and then you look at the Rishonim, including the closed system that is the Rambam, is how, you know, on the one hand, there's a lot of consistency, as we've been discussing, and at the same time, there are, you know, nuances, you know, that differentiate the different presentations in the different contexts. So again, in the context of Geirus, when the Rambam formulates, Kabbalas al Mitzvos, so again, just the phrase Ikari Adas and the emphasis, you know, on what that includes, Umodino, since it's Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, Umodino, so Ikari Hadas, the same expression that, you know, the Rambam uses in other places, including, as we saw in Hilchos Rotzeach, when he wanted to say, right, that Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, in contrast, you know, to Rotzeach, are Ikari Hadas. So here again, Modino, so Ikari Hadas, right, and here he says, Shehu Yichud Hashem. Interesting that he says Yichud Hashem, and not just Mitzius Hashem. That also relates to some of our Hashkafa discussion. And then he adds the Iser Avodah Zarah. So Iser Avodah Zarah isn't just an Iser. Obviously, it's Ikari Hadas. And then, of course, you know, he goes on, Umarichin B'davar Zeh. And then he says, Umodinos Umiktsas Mitzos Kalos Umiktsas Mitzos Chamuros V'ein Marichin B'davar Zeh. So again, that's also very interesting. I mean, the Rambam, it's not just a list, you know, this is what's on it. He has an awareness that, you know, Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yilacha Elohim akerim bipi agura, and especially Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that, you know, Marichim b'davar zeh, because it isn't just, these aren't just Isurim, and even just Isurim Chamurim, they're Ikare Hadas. Therefore, they have to be treated in a very different way. The idea that, therefore, that dictates the framework of everything else, that determines whether you're Poshe Yisrael, or your Mufka, in some respects, from Kedushas Yisrael. You know, it just redefines how we look at everything else you do. Makes sense. It's also fascinating, and this is, I want to, you know, Eineni Marich Bazeh, you know, about the part that the Ram says Ein Marich in B'davar Zeh, it's Modino, it's Miktas Mitzvahs Kalos and Miktas Mitzvahs Chamuros. And then, of course, he mentions specific ones, and then he talks about Onshon Shel Mitzvahs. Every line, you know, you have to look at, you know, very, very carefully, and where it comes from in the Gemara, and what the Ram does from it. But the very notion of Modin Miktas Chamuros and Miktas Kalos, of course, itself, so suggestive. Because you would have thought that if you're going to be Modian low and you're not going to be Marichin low and you're not going to mention everything, then you should just focus on the, you know, on the chamuros. We're not getting in more chamuros. You know, why do you need a mixture of chamuros and kalos? And it's not because, you know, you don't want to scare them off. You know, so you want to show them that there's some kalos. You know, first of all, kalos are not necessarily less demanding. They just, you know, they're kalos in respect of, you know, the ownership they trigger, etc. But again, I think the point of all this is that, you know, again, there's not a straightforward hierarchy, you know, that is defined only by Sekar and Onesh, but these categories, and we know this again from Hilchos Tshuva, from other things, just from the presentations of Torah and Bitzav. These are all part of the, you know, lechatchila configuration range, you know, structure of Kedushas Yisrael. You know, the kalos, like just like, you know, the Essen and the Lavim have a complicated relationship that we've spoken about. You know, in Parshas Yisro, again, who famously explains that, you know, Ase is do chalos Ase, because Essen referred to Avas Hashem and Lavim referred to Yiras Hashem, and Ava trumps Yira. And then, as we know, the whole discussion, and that is that, you know, there are caps on the how far you have to go, you know, to accomplish an Ase, you know, and there may be no cap on Lavin. Either way, Lavin trigger Onshin, Essen do not. We'll see in a moment whether, you know, a view is, we'll see in just a second that that's part of, we've been alluding to it, and Eitan brought it up the other day, right, Lavin, you know, can certainly be a foundation for Mumrius, and Essen, you know, are, you know, questionable, you know, in that respect. People just give you a marker in a second. So, you know, how could it be, you know, that Ase is dochalos Ase because Abba is dochas Ayira? But again, the point is that the relationships here are complicated. And I'm not, you know, just telling you that they're complicated and hopefully I'm not telling you that and then just walking away. I'm not saying it's, you know, a choke. It's not. It's very understandable, very logical, and very intellectually and especially spiritually compelling, if you ask me. And that is, you know, of course you have different expressions, you know, that play different roles, you know, given different circumstances and so on. And the idea, of course, of the Ramban is that, you know, when you're talking about triage, spiritual triage, so then, you know, Ase is dochalos Ase, Ava more important than Yira. I mean, you have somebody who's committed to call it Torah Kula, then sometimes, you know, but the circumstances arise, you know, in which Lemaisa, you know, he has to make some hard choices. So in some of those circumstances, you know, the Essen choice, he's committed to both. He's not a rebel. He's not a moraid. He doesn't have a lack of Yiras Shemayim. So, but the opportunity to express his Avas Hashem sometimes trumps, you know, the need to, you know, reassert or reaffirm the fact that he's not, you know, spurning, you know, Yiras Hashem. And that's, you know, very understandable. You know, that's completely different than not somebody who's in a triage situation, but somebody who, you know, is an act of volition or will, choice, you know, we're assessing his, you know, bad behavior, you know, because he didn't put on tzitzis today, or, you know, or he's not, doesn't have a mezuzah on his door, you know, as opposed to the fact that he's, you know, ochel nevelos pashuk, you know. So one is a more core minimal obligation, and one is a more disrespectful, voluntary, you know, act of rebellion than the other. You know, both because of Kuvasei and Sheval Taseh, as well as in terms of the Onesh. Or put it this way, the, you know, the formulation of the thing of these things and the way that they're formulated is not coincidental. So the point is, you know, these are not contradictory ideas at all. So when it comes to Geirus, right, it's Modin lo mixos, mixos kamuros and mixos kalos. Because in the bigger picture, when you're committed to everything, right, they play different roles. And, you know, sometimes the kalos, you know, they certainly reflect the dimension, and sometimes they're, you know, given full commitment, the role that they play, you know, is even more aspirational. So this really is, the same idea, of course, applies in the area of Mumbrius. So when we talk about, you know, there being, you know, particular mitzvos that embody or, you know, take you out of that framework, or, you know, particular mitzvos that, you know, begavra, establish you in an unacceptable way. And then we're wondering about Essen, you know, where do they fit into the picture? So that's also part of the same kind of thing. So these are all, again, if we had time, you know, we are investing some time, obviously, in going through these topics. But of course, there's just much more. And, you know, it's, in one way, it's a kind of an endless pursuit and fascination. You know, you every time you look at it, you find, you know, different nuggets and different, you know, in some cases, not just nuggets, but break things that cause, you know, your understanding in a breakthrough way. But it's a very, very important issue, clearly in a very important topic. Again, I mentioned Essen here, and we're talking about also Geirus and so on. They're just pertaining to the question that Eitan brought up the other day, you know, whether Mumbar Orlus, you know, proves that, that there's a concept of Mumbar even for Essen, not just in Lavin. And I mentioned that, you know, it could be that shiny Bris Mila, because of the role that it plays for so many reasons, as a status, you know, just as a bris, as something, you know, that is a lifelong thing, that is, you know, omnipresent, but even more than that, or again, connected to that, but either way, that's an important issue, and then maybe it depends also, you know, whether it proves anything. Does it prove about Mumal Hakis or Mumar with Teyavah? Anyways, the Pesachei Tshuva here in Yoridei Simen Beis makes reference to the Prima Gadim in Simen Lamed Ches, who really discusses this issue. I think he quotes in the name of the Tvuas Shor, but he also brought a riot from Ara. So Eitan is in good company. Do they have it here? Oh, they have to go back for this one. This one had it on the page. The Simen Lamed Ches, of course, is Hilchos Tefillin. Hilchos Tefillin begins with the Gadol Schar Mitzvos Tefillin V'Chol Mi She'Eino Manicham Hu Bechal Poshe Yisrael Begufa. Partially stated in the Gemara, but an expansive one. And there's a debate, the Magen Avraham and others, whether this means even if there's a good excuse or only when, you know, there's no excuse. I mean, how far do you take that idea? But in my opinion, there are certain essence, I said this about RL, also for the reasons that we discussed, that, you know, their neglect may constitute a kind of active, not simply a passive. So even when we discuss this question, namely, are you a mumar only when you violate, you know, or even when you abstain, right, there may be, number one, what the onus is, could be a factor. Number two, the extent to which certain abstentions are perceived as passive violations could be an issue, and that might be different essence. There could be other factors involved. But just specifically, the Prima Gadim here in Simen Lamed Ches discusses this question, you know, on the Magen Avraham. And he says the following: Be Reish Hava Mina Hod Kaimel and Be Yaredeya Simen Beis. This is Sif Katan Aleph in the Eishel Avram.
the simin kutron ches lahakas b'davar echad haba min af b'mitzvah sase kein hu. Even the shaman alahad rabbeinu tam roshana daf yizayin amar aleph on karkafta and the magen avram. Right, shema mina lechor de lahakas dafka sheover b'kum ba'ase de lahakas afilu she'ein l'teyavon yeshomrim kein v'koshkein shemeguna alav and so on. Ela shara'isi l'rabbeinu agadu b'tzvua shor yaradeya. Exactly eight times raya from mumar la'arlus mivai the mitzvah. Of course, according Rashi, the hiksha kesef mishnah mihilchus shkita, right? That have a min. The often ki davar zev l'kor b'machlokas shnuya, but as Rashi, the mitzvah sasei lo have a min. Rai mashuk asav the b'sicha kolalas, and he brings you other marmukhavas as well.
So he doesn't mention what I suggested, which is maybe shiny orla, mumla orla because of, the karis and everything else. It's interesting also that he focuses on kumbase and shevaltase more than on the ase and the lav. this is, by the way, a big issue in other contexts, too. For example, we say, yesh koch b'yad chachamim, again, a related context. Yesh koch b'yad chacham lakar davar min haTorah. Usually we distinguish between Sheval Tasa and Kum Ba'aseh. The Gemara Yevamos, and so on. Ba'peches. So there too we find a debate among the Rishonim, and even bigger debate among the Achronim, whether this distinction between Kum Ba'aseh and Sheval Tasa has to do with the, per se, with the Chetza Shel Mitzvah and its classification. And again, like up along the lines of the Ramban and so on. Or whether it's really about kumbase and sheval tasa, right? And the idea that, when you're passive, you're not really making the same kind of a statement. You're not violating, you're just not doing. There could be some lavin, that you violate passively, and there could be some essen that you violate actively. So that would be an interesting question. So this is an issue in Mumla Hakas as well. But once again, in light of what we've been discussing, whether you'd be b'chalek in this question about essen, just like whether you'd be b'chalek, we're going to discuss that more in a minute, about drabanons, right, or about lavin, let's say, that aren't chayvin misa when it comes to Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Whether these, in other words, the question of the inclusiveness or the expansiveness of the categories, the idea that this would all be one issue across the board for Mumla Teyavon, Mumla Hachis, right, Mumla Shabbos, Mumla Bodhazara, Mumla Kol Tara Kula, default, you would say, well, what's the difference? Midda, from one to the other. But in light of what we've been trying to also understand, which is that there could be different Mechaibin here, in some cases, we're talking about destroying the framework. In other cases, it's the Chomer or Aveira. In other cases, it's, the shame Gavra Russia. In other cases, it's, completely, stripping him of any Nemanus Hagavra. With regard to these distinctions, that is something that also could apply to these satellite cases, as they could to the other issues that we're going to discuss in just a minute. Seemed like there was a question? Yeah.
Yeah, do you think it's significant that the Rambam sometimes will change his
lashon?
Sometimes he talks about
aveirim
and
aveiros,
and sometimes he talks about
achas mikol mitzvos shel Torah. Could be. I mean, that's very subtle. But just as the Rambam, as we've seen, there are others, more clear, problems in the Rambam. Like, when to call mumar lahachis amin and when a mumar. When to group mumar lahachis with avodah zarah and Shabbos. when to group it with mumar. the discrepancies in tshuva and rotzeach and whatever. So mitzvah na mitzvos and or avera na averos and mitzvah na mitzvah whatever. That's a much more subtle. I guess if it works and fits in, then there would be more reason to think that maybe it was intentional. Some cases, right? If there's no difficulty, it could just be like the Mefarshim say in, Tanakh, sometimes, the same thing in different words. But, we, you know, definitely in Torah Shevichsav, you know, we like to take a gra slash, you know, malbim, you know, et cetera, you know, perspective, and that is that, you know, every word, you know, and its connotation may be significant. It's not fair to, I guess, read the, you know, a human text, you know, to that extent, but since I think the Rambam was very careful, and especially if we notice patterns and it fits in with other things, I would be open to it. I didn't notice it myself. It's an interesting thing to note and then to look, you know, after we've noticed it to see whether, you know, it really opens things up or is consistent. I'm not sure because I just didn't look through it. Okay, so let's move on and talk a little more about, we've been discussing Women Love Avodah Zarah, and I think last year in particular we discussed, again, satellites of Avodah Zarah, different kinds of Avodah Zarah, different aspects of Avodah Zarah, some of which go to its linchpin status, others of which go to its theological or, and, you know, Gavra Meshumat status, and still others of which have to do with, you know, the Chomer HaIsur or the Ma'aseh HaAveira itself. We talked about Rav Hanan, we talked about Yehoreg Vayavor, etc. One of the things that I wanted to, I guess, add to the mix is certainly the question of how many violations are required to define one as a mumar, as well as the related question, and that is when, at what point does the, if you're talking about Shechita more specifically, at what point does the basar become nevela in this process? But again, to do that, right, we need to take a little bit of a step back and wonder about the same questions in the parallel cases, the parallel cases of Mumar L'Hachis, you know, and especially also Mumar L'Chal L'Shabbos B'Parhesya. In other words, in all three of these cases, right, we are a little bit also in Mumar L'Tayama, but just like the question we were asking before about the expansion of what is, you know, different, you know, the expansion of the categories, here too, how many times to be a Mumar, and, you know, at what point in the process to be Oser the Basar. So again, same problem. Mumar L'Hachis, you know, whether you hold Mumar L'Hachis L'Davar Echad as a Mumar L'Chal Torah Kula, then here you might also be Mechalek qualitatively, or you're talking about Mumar L'Hachis L'Oso Davar, but going forward, right, what about this question? And what about L'Chal L'Shabbos? So again, the Shach, I'm only quoting the Shach just to make it easy for a second. The Shach in Yoredeya, you know, puts these together, quotes the Marshal, basically, and puts these together and assumes that, you know, you're a mumar, the pamachas. Not necessarily that affects the basar, that we'll get to in a second. But he, you know, quoting the Marshal, he has mumar l'hachis and mumar l'avodah zarah as one. This is sort of Yud Zayin? Yud Zayin? Yeah. Mumar L'Hachis, this is the Shach Sipkat and Tezayin, just using it as a foil for the moment. Kos of Marshal, Perikam B'Tethul and Simen Vav, Dafilu Pamachas Habik Ovi Kochavim, Mumar L'Hachis. Umash V'Dasim B'Chaber, Shuk Ovi Kochavim Mamish, Rishpitasim V'Eva Medina, and that both of them are Pamachas. And then he quotes later on the Bach, right, to, and we'll see, you know, the Riyaz and Piskei Rid and so on, who think at least the Mumar L'Hachis part is only Drabanan, or even for Tosis. Let me discuss that. That's important. We're going to get back to it. However, as I say, these two questions are you know, probably, you know, open questions, you know, with regard to each of these categories, or maybe even a little bit, maybe a little bit more. So when we think about it, this comes up, of course, in mostly in the Rishonim on Daf Yud Dalet Omid Aleph, which we're going to get to in a second. And it also comes up in some of the Rishonim in Erevin, on some of Tesim Aleph, the Gemara that we're going to look at in just a second. It comes up with regard to Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, especially. The trigger, partially, for a lot of these discussions is the Mishnah regarding Shabbos. Okay, what does the Mishnah say about Shabbos? Zev? Yeah, you have the language of Mishnah, but Shochet Shabbos, that what happens? The meat is Kshera.
Yeah.
Now, the Afal Bishim Mitzchayv Nafsho is a little bit of a problem, which we're not going to get into now, although the Rishonim have to deal with it, because Afal Bishim Mitzchayv Nafsho sounds like it's Mazin.
Yeah.
unless it means, you know, kind of a, like a Komle B'Drabba Minei, kind of a Tanah the Bechizkiya comment, and that is, Afal Bishim Mitzchayv Nafsho B'Mazin, and that might have had consequence also in how we look at Shogeg, right? But it's talking about both, which is the way the Rajba prefers to read this Mishnah. But either way, what emerges from this Mishnah, seemingly? Well, we don't even know if he's a mumar after Pamachas, right, from here. But he's definitely not. Well, the minimum thing that this Mishnah is telling us, and even then we need to understand circumstances, is what? That whatever the circumstances are in this particular case, they're not affecting the basar yet, right? Now, when the basar does get affected, or when this person gets a status of a mumar, that we just don't know. Like, is it possible that he's a mumar already and still it's not affecting the basar? For example, the next time that he, you know, when he walks away from this shmita, you know, we see him in the street. Does he have like the spiritual neon sign already, Mumar? Possibly?
I mean, we know from other places that he's a Mumar.
We know from other places?
We know from other places that he's a Mumar.
Yeah, no. So we know that he wasn't his. He definitely, if he's a Mumar already, then his Mumrius did not affect, did not yet affect this Basa. That's the only thing that we really know. Right? So one way to discuss this Mishnah is to say the whole thing is just misleading. Right? It's talking about a shogeg. Who says that? The Rajba. Yeah. Okay, the Rajba in the Chidushim here, the Rajba in Tar Savai. There's some other Rajbas in different places, but the Rajba basically likes to neutralize Rajbas. If you look at the continuation of the Gemara, there's a whole discussion about Rabbi Yehuda, you know, on Malacha B'Shabbos, the Shogeg, B'Mezid, right, the whole thing. And he says, so the Maskana, we can actually say the Mishnah's even talk about Shogeg. What motivates the Rajba to say that is that he's not even happy, you know, with the conclusion, right, that if a real Mumar was, or if he was, you know, Shogeg, B'Mezid, that the Basar would not be Usser, right? That's what he's trying to, you know, to deny. Or, other view in Rishonim that denies this also in a way. One view in Tosas, that. Exactly. We're talking about Betzina. And therefore, if we're talking about Betzina, right, so there's no status of Mumar. But, you know, what part of the motivation here is, you know, because if it was Bafar Hesia, then being a Mumar, you know, would contaminate the Basar. Right? So, and indeed, if you look at the Rambam in Pirshim Mishnayos here, Rambam says explicitly, you know, that if he is a Mazid, and it is Bifar Hesia, that he'll contaminate the Basar. Okay? That assumes that Pirshim Mishnayos, this view, whether it's through the Rajba, through that day in Tosis, etc., assumes two things. Number one, that one shchita b'Shabbos, the parhesia, is enough to give him the status of mumar, correct? And B, that status affects the action that generates the status. Now, that sounds like a strange way to say it. What does that mean?
It's like what the Rav says, like the same order that they're becoming
memorized. Like a boing kiachad.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Exactly. So that's what the that's the line that they have. Like it's boing kiachad. Now this idea of boing kiachad, by the way, again, everything is complicated in these things, and I really wish it weren't, but you know, the notion in general, like what happens. You know, it's like, okay, this is the catch-22, you know? You know, you are a mumar because you're being, you know, shochet nevela. It's not, I mean, there are bigger catch-22s in this. But what makes you a mumar is the fact that you are, right, being Mechal Shabbos. And part of what makes you Mechal Shabbos, you know, is the fact that you're doing this shkita. So the point is that, at least timing-wise, these things, you know, seem to be together. So you're saying kind of boing kiachad. Now, again, there are boing kiachads that are worse than this. Let me just make that clear. Not because I'm just, whatever, but to make the bigger point, I guess. And those are like real, you know, more obvious catch-22 boing kiachads. Like, you know, gito v'yado, you know, boing kiachas. Okay? So whether it's an Ebed or Nisha, that's the question. You know, you give somebody who doesn't have their own, like, capacity to be Makabal Kenyan, but you're giving them their walking papers, you know, so their Shechror and their Kenyan, you know, each of which is dependent upon the other, Narboin Kiach, right? So it's a famous discussion, where he talks about, you know, whether or not, let's say a person wants to sell a piece of property, and he does it by, you know, using a kinyan chotzer, you know, for the other guy should be kona the property, you know, by virtue of the fact that he's kona the property. In other words, let's say you put the the shtar mecher inside the property. So you want to say, oh, you know, it's his chotzer, you know, because it's boing kiachas, and therefore he's zoche, you know, with the kinyan that makes it his chotzer. Right? That's a famous... So the Ksos famously suggests, you know, that that's a problem, and that we shouldn't so, you know, glibly, you know, just say about things, boing kiecha. So says, we could say it in a get because, you know, it's v'nasim biyada. So maybe the kinyan isn't through a kinyan, the kinyan is through the sina. So there's an asina, and that creates a kinyan. That kind of boing kiecha you could say. But where the, you know, the kinyan is the basis for the kinyan, you know, and there's no physical element outside of the legal formal element, and maybe we shouldn't say boing kiachad, like the case I just mentioned, you know, with the chatzim. That's a famous view of the Ksos, and others disagree. You have Yeush and Shinu Rishus. We talked a little bit about it last year. Right, a Ghana for Gazlan is only Keg Kona in the end. No, be Yeush and Shinu Rishus. That's how we pass. Yeush Kedilo Kani, but if you have Yeush and Shinu Rishus, then he'll be Kona. The question is, how is he, you know, able to be makne, you know, to do the shinu rishus, basically? After all, he's not the bailim until he's the bailim, you know, which is only when there's the ancient shinu rishus. So different ways to answer that question. The Ritva was of the opinion that that's, you know, oh, that's just like Gita V'yada, Bo'in Kiyacha. You know, his kinyan and his hakna are Bo'in Kiyacha. It's a tricky thing. So here we have also a tricky situation. This guy becomes a mumar through the shkita, and we want to know whether that means that, you know, the shkita was done al yaday, you know, mumar. It's a little bit different, but there is that part of the mix. One could say that this whole question of of, you know, how you look at the basar, you know, of the first time of a mumar, But you could say that that is an objectively, you know, interesting debate that in theory could be disentangled, you know, from our bigger topic. Our bigger topic being, you know, how does, you know, what exactly is a mumar? How exactly does it work? You could say it's all a kind of an extension of this larger meta-halachic, you know, question, you know, of boim kiachas. Okay, is this too much of a paradox? Right? If these two things are coming together, that's always fine. That's sometimes fine, depending on, you know, like the Xosis paradigm or other paradigm, or it's never good and never fine, and therefore you always have to wait till the next time. Right? So that, just be aware of that. It could have just been a boim kiachot question. Of course, even within the boim kiachot question, it might depend a lot, and this is where, like, you know, part of what I said before comes into play too. Just like the Xos was saying, maybe it depends on, you know, the catch 22 of Kinyan being the source of Kinyan, as opposed to there being a physical part, you know, which allows, you know, these two things to coincide. So too, it could be that this Boim Kiyachod type question depends on the character of the Avera, right? As well as the nature of the psul. In other words, if Basar Devela is generated by a mumar, and the Shem Mumar is generated by an Avera, so maybe those pratim matter. You know, so that, for example, again, how physical or legal they are might be a factor. Or the timing itself. Again, I don't want to get too bogged down with this, but the timing itself could be a factor. Like how, I'll say it this way, how front-loaded or back-loaded or integrated is the Avera in question? Like, you know, if there's a point, you know, where you're already in Avaryan, Begavra, especially, before, you know, we have to assess or before we have to close the books on whether or not the Heftz is an Avela, we'll speak more concretely about this case, right, then, you know, it's easier to say that there's no Boin Kiachot problem, objectively, right, because you are already a Mumar, based on the Avera that you did, because that's more front-loaded, that's at the beginning of the process, and there's either the status of Heftz Shel Basar Nevela is defined by the end, or can be defined at any point till the end. In which case you have a situation where you have a Gavra Mumar at some point, somebody who's already a Gavra Mumar, right? Who, you know, should, all things being equal, if that were the only question, you know, be corrupting, right, the, you know, and therefore creating, you know, the Basar Nevela. Because, you know, a T1 already, he was a Mumar, and any time till T, you know, 5 or whatever it is, this Basar can turn into Nevela, you know, if it's the Shkita of a Mumar. Now, if that is true, so then what you need to do, or then what might happen is, you might say, well, that opens the possible distinction between different averos and different consequences. So regarding this question of, you know, the coming together of, you know, the status of Mumar and the effect of a Maisa Yedei Mumar, for example, let's just say it this way. So let's compare for a minute, like Maisa Varazara and Maisa Chilul Shabbos. Frankly, you might even end up distinguishing between different Maisa Avodah Zarahs themselves and different Maisa Chilul Shabbos themselves. Because how front-loaded, integrated, or back-loaded, you know, are they all? Right? So, for example, we'll see in a minute, this is the suggestion kind of that the Ramban makes, you know, is Avodah Zarah Dafka back, you know, Al Shem Sofo? And is Shabbos dafka Bitilasa. So we'll see in a moment the debate between the Ramban and the Chiddush Aran, right, regarding Shechita more very specifically. This is an even more specific debate, and that is, let's say, when you start doing the Shechita, right? So, as we'll see in a moment, is that Tchilaso Bekilkul, Mesofo Betikun? In which case you really haven't, if you could stop in mid-section, but you haven't really violated Shabbos, you know, in a way that you're violating a Doraisa anyway, also an issue, you know, until the end. So maybe in Shabbos, especially in Shechita and Shabbos, if it's Tchilaso Kilkol Sofo Tikkun, and if you look at it that way, right, then it's going to be harder, you know, to get around the catch 22. But maybe in Avodah Zarah, right? On the other hand, if you don't look at it that way, you know, if you look at it as, well, it's kilkol al menas latakein, you're chayav for that. It's kind of the way Rabbi Kivager was suggesting to look at it, this massive piece in Shulchan Aruch. Or, the way I prefer to look at it, which doesn't mean that it's right, but, and that is, of course, if you were to stop Shechita midway, that would be kilkul. But that doesn't mean when you do an action of Shechita, you know, that l'mafreya, we now look at it as kilkul, 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 even kilkul al-menas l'taken, kilkul al-menas l'taken, kilkul al-menas l'taken, tikkun, you know, if you were to stop in the middle, then we would assess it as kilkul. And if you don't, and you do the Shechita, we say, you know, not even igloy milsa mafreya, but the book is, the jury's out, you know. Not in the way it's out for the kutin, but meaning it's a Shechita. Shechita mitukenes. And when did it start? Mitchila. Right? Let's say we were talking about different melachos of Shabbos, and not Shechita, but for some other effect, you know, that effect of Cheftz. Would there be difference between, I don't know, Bishol, you know, and Zoreya, you know, and Makaba Patish? I'm not going to explain the details of what I just said, but what I mean by that is, in Hilchos Shabbos, there are some melachos that are, you know, front-loaded and some that are back-loaded. Would that matter in terms of, you know, when this guy becomes a mumar within a process vis-a-vis the effect? So that's a technical way. So what I'm saying is, number one, there's an objective question of boim kiachas in general, a meta-halachic question, you know, and that also are different factors. Number two, I'm saying the dynamic between the Maisa Veira here, the Dover Ha'oser, in other words, let's say, and the Chefza Shel Iser, that is Notzar, you know, and when those things actually kick in, that becomes an important factor. And that could be a distinction between, certainly between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, but I'd say even within Shabbos and maybe within Avodah Zarah, it could even be that this question becomes something like what I just said a second ago, which is, you know, maybe even there's an interesting discussion here about how you look at individual malachos, like Shechita, do you look at it as Tchilas of Kilkol, etc. But all this has nothing so far to do with Mumar, although these are factors. Now, this idea that I just mentioned is, of course, alluded to and kind of reflected in the discussion of the Ramban and the Chiddush Aran, as I noted. Zach, you saw it? The line of the Ramban, go ahead. First the Ramban, and then the response of the Chiddush Aran. On your Dalet? You didn't see the Ramban? You don't have it? So, you have it? Whoever gets it first. A very, very critical Ramban. From... You have it? Yeah, go ahead. Same problem as Bali tells us. First of all, did Tosis actually say that? Might as well get some of this in. What? I don't think so either. Although Tosis in Sanhedrin might have said that. Right? There's a very subtle and yet very important difference in the way that Bali Tosis are quoted. Okay, just so if you don't mind, I'm sorry to from think that. Let's just read the Tosis there very quickly. Right, Tainly Bemezid, Hech Shtasek Sheira. We'll get to that. But basically, again, this is where the Rajba came in and said, yeah, but the Maskan is at Shogeg. All's good. Correct? Yeah. Go ahead. Yishlomar. Okay, that's also, again, as we said, that'll neutralize the problem. But the implication is then that the question stands. That the assumption of the question stands, which is, A, that you are a mummer the first time. B, that being a mummer the first time, there's no timing problem, and that will be a boin kiyachad with regard to Neve. Why? Because the conditions are the way they need to be, or because we're pretty loose on that boin kiyachad thing, more generally? I'm not sure. We're not going to get into that. But that's the Tzina answer of Tosis and the Shogeg answer of the Rajba, and the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayis insisting that indeed this would be the case, are all assuming that the Gavra is a Mumar, and he's also, able. If he's a Mumar, then it's boin kiyachad in some way. Correct? Okay, keep going. Yeah. Oh, that's what Tosis actually says. Some of the Rishonim quote, some of the Bali, some of the Chachmei Sfarad quote Tosis this way. Most of them don't. Most of them quote it the way the Ramban quotes it. Okay, what's the difference?
Sounds like Tosis saying that you need to do a few times to call you
Mumar at all. Tosis is relating, exactly, to the shame Mumar Begavra. And Tosis is saying, in order to be a Mumar, you don't become a Mumar in one time. That's a critical, critical point. Right? We'll follow through with Tosis Neirvin, excuse me, in a couple of minutes. But this is a crucial, he doesn't say how many times. It sounds like you need, at least two, maybe three, or maybe even more. Who knows? Right? There are different versions of Tosis. Now, why? The answer is because I'll say right now. Obviously, the Maisa Veira alone is not what's Koveya here. Ah, that's interesting. Right? And that the shame Gavra Russia probably is not what's Koveya here. It's the shame Mumar. With the assumption that a shame Mumar, even in a Veira Chamura, requires a track record of some sort. Okay, that is a critical idea. Would that be true for other dinim? Like where Shame Russia is enough, or where the Maisa Aveira is enough? Probably not. Shame Russia, maybe. But Tosis is not actually answering from the perspective of the coordination of Mumar and Nevela here. He's answering based on Mumar. Again, in addition to what he says, which is very critical, a different perspective completely, just think of it this way. Right, a Mumar l'chalas ha-shabbos v'hasi is a Mumar l'chal ha-tarek kula. Right? The question is, when he goes out, after having done this, and he goes out and he does something else, right? Is that kigoy l'chal ha-dvarim because he's a Mumar l'chal ha-tarek kula? Right? The answer for our printed Tosis is no. He's not a Mumar l'chal ha-tarek kula. He needs more violations. How many? A second one? Three? Chazaka? More? A pattern? Hard to know. Right? So he's not a Mumar l'chal ha-tarek kula. Okay, v'chein mashma, just read it, we'll finish it first, and then we'll see the Ramban again. V'chein mashma. So what's fascinating also is what's the raya that he's bringing? Correct. And most of the Rishonim here, this is not good for my, you know, theory, but I stand by it anyway. But, I mean, there are, you know, two ways. It's either against my theory or it means the theory is correct, but this is not an expression of it, meaning my theory that you should be mechalek also, perhaps, bein, mumer labadazara and mumer lechalos shabbos farhesia, right? What's fascinating is in this question, Tosas is treating them, Tosas bring a raya from one to the other. But that could just be because either way, the shame mumar is common to both, right? And you need, but it's interesting to ask this question, whether you'd be mechalek between them two, on both planes, in terms of what level of rasha or mumar begavra you need, right? As well as in the question of, you know, the timing, the phases, the front load, all that of business about the impact of Gavra Mumar converging with Chefza Shel Nevela. Okay, Tosas is equating. Okay, keep going just for one more minute. Okay, you can skip to the end. These are good raya, but they're interesting rayas. I'm not going to get into the rayas in a moment. The last line of Ali Bechadazim Lo Itzar. Now, in the end, he talks about, you know, Itzar Shchitaso. And some of the rayas are about Itzar Shchitaso. But the formulation is about whether it becomes a mumar, a gavra mumar. Correct? If you look at Tosas in Sanhedrin, I think that Tosas in Zvachim is neutral. If you look at Tosas in Sanhedrin, did I bring that? Samech Aleph Omed Aleph, there it sounds more like the Ramban. You have it there, Simcha? Samech Aleph Omed Aleph? Yeah, that I didn't tell you to look at, but that's Tosas told you to look at it. Right? Aresh Lech Hashem Muteres, Pirish Bahanov Alo Bachila, same, he's addressing the same question. De Mumar La'avodas Kochavim. But here he's talking about directly Mumer Lavaris Kachavim, not Mumer Lechalos HaShabbos. Asur Lechol Mishki Taso. Inami Afilu Bachila Shari. Kivin Delohaya Mumar Mi'ikara. Ubishkita Zuhu Denasa Mumar. Okay? Now again, I think it's a huge, it's tamua to me that no one really calls this out as much as they should. Like on the side, Tosad Ayin Tosad Svachim. They're. And again, the Chachmei Svar, they're making it sound it's all the same. Two totally different ideas. There may be a conceptual overlap, but they're definitely two different ideas. Tosas here in Sanhedrin, you know, just says that it says B'shchita zu na'asa mumar, and therefore the Shchita itself is not psula. Meaning the timing doesn't work. But if you ask, and now this guy goes out and he does something else, is he a mumar l'chalat tarakula? He is. Is this a difference between mumar l'avodah zarah and mumar l'chalat HaShabbos? Interesting thought, maybe. Right? Okay, now get back to the Ramban. Go ahead. So the Ramban reads Tosas like Tosas in Sanhedrin, correct? Oh, again, one more time, just going back. So how he quotes Tosas again, now that we know? So what does that mean? Exactly. It's a Boeing Kiachat problem. Go ahead, keep going.
Now he
Ella, there's a key line. She'aim shame shchitas mishumad alea. So again, what is he focusing on? The shame shchitas mishumad on the gavra?
On the meat.
Even though it may be true also on the gavra, right? But at least he is a mishumad after that point, right? He doesn't need another bad shchita credential to give him the shame mishumad. The problem for the Ramban is not the shame mishumad, right? It is whether his mishumadus was early enough to infect the meat.
Is it possible for him to be on the bus or not on the person?
What do you mean? Well, I think, no, it doesn't sound that. I mean, he says, James shchitas mishumad, elami osa shchita v'yelach. Meaning the next time it would be, because he's already gavra mumar. The next shchita that he would do, I mean, but his whole point is to show that it's not. Oh, I mean, if he was shochet the shame of Odazara, wouldn't that make it like Tikrovus of Odazara? But that wouldn't be Nevela. There are two different. That's what some of the Achronim discuss. Is there a difference between, well, who cares if it's Hasar anyway? What's the difference between Shabbos, you say? They say, oh, Shabbos, you know, Bechdei Shiyase. You wait a little bit. That's a difference. If it's really the shame of Odazara, then it's also anyway. And they discuss that. Okay, so that's the Ramban. Then the Ramban has a terrific line, Lishitaso. You couldn't really say this in our printed doses. Not that way, anyway. The Shema.
Shema
Nomar. Oh, the Isra of Avodah Zarah maybe requires Gemar Zvicha. Right? What's he trying to say? As opposed to Shabbos. So he's suggesting a chiluk between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, but having to do with whether the Maisa Avera is going to get him the shame mumar in time, and that depends how front-loaded the Maisa Avera is. The assumption being that when it comes to Shkita of Shabbos, that would do the trick. Now again, if it was about the shame mumar begavra, right, would that be a distinction? So in my opinion, one could, that's why I say this isn't, you know, serving my purposes, that's fine. But what I would suggest is another distinction. Right? And that is on the Tosis level. Even though Tosis doesn't make this distinction. But if we have to look at the objective evidence and you have to especially deal with this particular Mishnah, right? Now these are two questions here. One is, you know, the Boim Kiyacha. And 1A is the relationship between the Gavra, the Maisa Avera, the Heftza Shel, Iser, and that's all a lot of variables. Very interesting topic. Correct? Then there's the second question, or the second issue. When does he become a Gavra Mumar in other things? And of course that'll also affect the next Shkita. So as far as that is concerned, I would say the following. This should be the golden rule, I would think. Right? If the mechayiv is the Maisa Avera, right, the Chomer HaIsur or the Maisa Avera, right, then the only issue to think about is the first issue. And that is, did the Maisa Avera come, you know, early enough, or do we care? You know, what are our views of Kubayim Kiyachad, and what are our views of front-loaded, you know, middle, end, and all that kind of stuff? Unless you think, by the way, I'm really not trying to be just whatever, but sometimes there's a difference, even in Averos, between, you know, like a little bit like you were saying, but in a different way, between the Maisa Avera, as a Maisa Avera, and the Shem Gavra, you know, She'asa HaAvera. Okay. Let's leave that up. That's just for now. I probably shouldn't even have said it. Okay, take it off the record. But what I'd like to say is, if there really is a difference between Mumer L'Avodah Zarah and Mumer L'Chalos HaShabbos, remember, two things. And so I want to talk about the Gemara in Eruvin. Number one, there's Rav Hanan out there. Right? Rav Hanan doesn't believe in Mumer L'Avodah Zarah. What do you think about Mumer L'Chalos HaShabbos? Kol Shekein? That's not? Or would he agree about Mumer L'Chalos HaShabbos Parnas? Not clear, but it's an important question to ask. And what does he think about? We think we know what he thinks of Mumer L'Chalos Torah Kula, but we're just not sure how he would define it. Right? Where our bigger question about Mumer L'Chalos Torah Kula is, if you don't like Rav Hanan, right, is that ever a separate category for Mumer L'Avodah Zarah and Mumer L'Chalos HaShabbos? But for Rav Hanan, who doesn't have Avodah Zarah, that there's a Mumer L'Chalos Torah Kula is an interesting question. That his Mumer L'Chalos Torah Kula may be different than the Chachamim's, you know, because of this other factor, qualitative. But what does Rav Hanan think about Chilul Shabbos? Would he agree because it's Befarhesia? Or to say this in a different way? Bepashtus, Mumer L'Avodah Zarah is a Mumer L'Chalos Torah Kula, even Betina. But Shabbos needs Farhesia. Right? Why is that? Moreover, we're going to see in a minute in the Gemara Eruvin, the reverse of my Rav Hanan Safek. If you don't believe in Mumer L'Chalos HaShabbos Farhesia Mumer L'Chalos Torah Kula, which in the Gemara in Eruvin seems to be, or at least according to many Rishonim, is the view Ari of Yitzi? Whose view? Shai? I said, if you don't believe in Mumer L'Chalos HaShabbos Parhesia and Mumer L'Chalos Torah Kula, which in the understanding of Rashi, probably more, is the view of who? In the Gemara, Eruvin. Yoni? Rav Meir, correct. In Eruvin, Samach Tesar, we'll see in a moment. Do you believe in Yoni? Do you believe in Mumer L'Avodah Zarah? Sounds like the Gemara thinks that the answer is yes. Now, if there's a Rav Hanan and there's a Rav Meir, right, that doesn't mean, you know, that if we don't paskin like either of them, that Mumer L'Avodah Zarah, you know, and Mumer L'Chalos HaShabbos aren't the same. But the very fact, you know, that it might be one or the other, definitely is food for thought and wondering, meaning lahalacha we're saying they're the same, or lahalacha we're saying we understand that they're different, but they both have this result. In which case, are there different mechayvin? In which case, if the pashtus it's true that you only need parhesia b'shabbos and avodah zarah, but there are two ways to explain that. Well, first of all, is it true? Does anybody disagree and think that you need parhesia even for avodah zarah? Michael? It sounds like the Mordechai holds that way. And certainly the Darkei Moshe, the Drisha, and the Tur understood it that way. You know, it seems to go against all the Gemaras. Why would anybody even say such a thing? The answer is the motivation to say it is to align these two things. And maybe a line in the Gemara, in Eruvin that we're going to read very quickly in a second, you know, it sounds like, yeah, we do want to equate. We want to equate them in the effect, or we want to equate them in the mechayev. That's a very radical shita. Darkei Moshe takes it very seriously. You know, just because Shabbos needs farhesia avodah zarah, mid the Shabbos nishmel avodah zarah. Wow. And let's say the mainstream view, which is not that way, correct? But then we have two options. One is to downplay the difference, meaning in order to achieve the common result that makes both Mumar L'Avodah Zarah and Mumer L'Chalos HaShabbos, right, one Aveira Mumer L'Chalos Torah Kulas, there's still a difference. Right? Now, it's an interesting difference, right? Again, Farhesia doesn't change the Chomer Maiso Aveira of Shabbos. But definitely in terms of Begida, Mumar, Neid, you know, the theological aspect, the Chil Hashem aspect, the Shem Mumer Begavra aspect. What you might say, if you want to make it more innocuous, and you don't want to go with the Mordechai, Darkei Moshe, etc., is in Ochanami, they're different. You need Farhesia and Shabbos to bring it to the level, not of Chomer HaIsur, but at least Chil Hashem, Begida, theological impropriety, you know, and so on and so forth. Maybe even linchpin, right, in order to get it to Avodah Zarah. Okay, like this, you know. Rav Meir thinks there's only Avodah Zarah. We don't agree with Rav Meir, but we do think you need a little compensation to attain Avodah Zarah. Right? Shabbos isn't in the list of Yahar Glayavars. Right? It wasn't, you know, Nemar al Pia Gvura, even though it was definitely in the Asarzat Nibros, and so on. Or, no, the Farhesia of Shabbos and the Tzina of Avodah Zarah highlight, as do the distinctive views of Ravanan and Ravi Meir, that we're dealing with two different models. Maybe in Avodah Zarah it's the Chumras Maisa Aveira, and therefore it's the Tzina. Or maybe it's the linchpin idea, and therefore it depends on each individual. And maybe in Shabbos it's about shame, bogate, or and so on and so forth. In which case, when we come to the question of how many times is a cake to render somebody this kind of a mumar, and of course that may also have hashpa'ah on the basar, might. When it comes to this question, what we might say is, I think our tendency would be to say, you know, again, I think you could say the opposite too, but I think the likely default way to say it would be that just as Avodah Zarah doesn't need Farhesia, it needs Tzina. Put it this way. If the Mechayiv in Avodah Zarah has to do with the Iser and the Chomer HaAveira, the Maisa HaAveira, or if that is what's Koveya, the Shem Gavra, right, or the linchpin idea, then for the same reason that's Betzina, you would think it also could be the Chad Zimna. Whereas Shabbos, which needs Farhesia, you know, because it isn't the Maisa Aveira alone, right, it's the Maid Sheker al Maisa Bracious, or the spitting, you know, at the Os, or whatever, the Shame Gavra. But for that, you know, you need Farhesia, and you also may need more of a track record. That would make a lot of sense. That's different than what the Ramban is suggesting. Now, in terms of what the Ramban does suggest, he gets pushed back from the Chiddush Yaran. But, from a technical point of view, having to do with the front-loaded assessment, so you have the Chiddush Yaran, who was reading, Zev? What? The Chiddush HaRan quotes this idea of the Ramban, his suggestion. Chiddush HaRan, not the Ran on the other end. Say again? No, just where he quotes the Ramban. When he talks, and when he answers about the Kilpul thing. Yeah. Now again, that's a much more expansive. The Ramban has one line, but we have to remember what he's talking about in order to understand the full implications of what he's saying. Kedarko, the Ramban is much more makatz there. So the Kedusha Ramban already did us, you know, a very good service by elaborating, filling out what the Ramban had in mind. Go ahead. Right? Rabbi Kiveger discusses this issue in Shulchan Aruch. It's a massive piece, massive pieces. Some of them are a little pilpulistic, right? But they're, you know, Kedarka, always fascinating. He has a very strong, clear view of certain things being drabanan, etc. He He says, oh, maybe the argument here is the argument whether Mumr L'chal Shabbos B'Farhesya B'Durabanan, you know, is Mumr L'chal Torah Kula or not. Maybe that's going on. Everybody agrees it's Mekalkel. And this discussion is about whether, you know, Mumr, but it's still also B'Durabanan. That's one suggestion Rabbi Kiveger makes. And he's Dochet, but that's what he suggests. This connected to a major debate in the poskim. Verheitev already quotes it. The Beis Hillel, and these, you know, again, you have to, you know, kind of invest, you know, all of your funds for like 10 years to buy this. But I had help from Talmidim, actually. But in the back here, they have the, one of the nice things they have is they have the commentary of the Beis Hillel. And they also have the Pri Chadash. The Ber Heitev here quotes the Beis Hillel. So there's a debate between the Beis Hillel and the Pri Chadash whether or not Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesya B'Durabanan is a Mumr L'Chol Torah Kula. Again, one of the things I've been talking about, right? What about, would you say the same thing about Avodah Zarah, or maybe you could be Mechalik in light of what I'm saying now. Anyways, what's fascinating is Rabbi Kiveger, when he presents, that's why you always have to look at the original sources, Rabbi Kiveger presents this argument, or this discussion, he makes it seem like there's no one in the universe, this is strange for Rabbi Kiveger, but there's no one in the universe who thinks that Mumr L'chal HaShabbos B'Drabanan is a Mumr L'chal Torah Kula D'Oraisa. The way he portrays the Machlokas, it's the way he's co-care when he brings it up at the beginning. He says, Mumr L'chal HaShabbos B'Drabanan is a Mumr L'chal Torah Kula also B'Drabanan? Right? Or not at all? And that's how he understands the debate. If you look at the actual Makoros, we'll see Tosis in a second, and you look at the Beis Hillel in the back, who's like the first one to really... The Beis Hillel was a Talmud of Elkas Mechokek. So, pretty early, one of the Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch, in other words. But just a, you know, I don't know, you know, call it Ashgacha or bad luck, or, you know. But, you know, they're bringing him back, so that's good. So it's clear to me, I'll read a little bit on Monday when we finish this up, that he means not that at all. First of all, it's fascinating. There would be a view that Mumr L'chal HaShabbos B'Farhesya B'Drabanan would not be a Mumr L'chal HaShabbos, a Mumr L'chal Torah Kula B'Drabanan? Like, why not? Well, I actually like that. Right, because it isn't just about the correspondence. Drabanan, 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 Drabanan. We're talking about linchpins, you know, whatever we're talking about. Like, that's okay. I don't have any problem with that, although I think it's an important point. But for the same reason, right, I'm actually astonished that somebody would ever say it. I mean, that you're a Mumr L'chol Torah Kula for Drabanans. If it's kind of like an advanced, you know, chashud, or like a technical pagam, I understand it, but, you know, in terms of chomer aveira, you know, gavra, linchpin, I don't understand it at all. But for the same reason, I'm very excited to consider the possibility that Rabbi Kiveger seems to be just ignoring, and that is that a Mumr L'chalel, even the Rabbanans, could be a Mumr L'chol Torah Kula. The Raisas. Because it's all about, you know, the linchpin, the Maisa Beira, you know, the Chomer HaIsar, like, you know, passeling him, the Gavra, especially the Shame Bogaid, right? Who says that that's only in... I could see that going either way. Anyways, so part of his discussion, Rabbi Kiveger, is this question, you know, of Mekalkel. He says, oh, everybody will agree that if you stop in the middle of your Mekalkel, that's only Drabanan. So is that the debate between the Ran and the Ramban, hasn't mentioned the Ramban, but the Ran and the Ramban, I guess he didn't have the Ramban, he only had the Ran. Is that the debate? But if you're Im Kvar Az Kvar, I don't think that has to be the debate. Right? Number one, you know, Makalkel is I think it's the issue that I brought up before. And that is, if you stop in the middle, it's Makalkel. You know, if you end, I don't know, or before you end, and you didn't stop, I don't think we're saying Makalkel, 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 you know, Metakein. I think we're saying Shkita, 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 you know, Shkita, Gemura. Maybe we're even saying, you know, Shkita, Gemura, Shkita, Gemura, Shkita, Gemura, until we say Makalkel. Right? So I think it could be numerous issues. But I do think that exchange between the Ramban and the Ran underscores, could be something about Shkita, something about Makalkel also. Makalkel doesn't mean there's no Shem Malacha, by the way. Which also may figure into what I was just saying also about. I mean, Makalkel is both more and less than a regular Durabana. It's not like you did Shkita Durabana, not Shkita Daraisa. Right? It's a Melech Machsheves kind of a Pagam or Psul. Makes it more, but it's less connected to the Shem Shkita. You know, which makes it less. Anyway, so a lot of things to talk about in terms of the Ramban and the Ran. But all I'm saying is the whole discussion of Ramban and the Ran, whether it's Rabbi Kivager's take about the Drabanans or my take about, you know, the nature of Makalkel or the nature of Shkita, you know, in its different frozen points in time. You know, this is all about the convergence question, but details about the convergence question of the Maisa Aveira and the Shem Mumar. Right? But another way to have distinguished the whole issue and to question some of the rayas back and forth, but a way to maybe navigate some of the evidence, is to say what I'm suggesting, which is that in Avodah Zarah and in Shabbos, right, you don't have to come to the same conclusion. I'll throw in Mum Lahachis for good measure, too, even though the Marshal thought, who adin? Again, default, I mean, let's just be, you know, clear and fair also. Default, when you have parallel questions, you know, there's the tendency is, and the default right is, to assume, you know, midazeh nishma lazeh. So if you have Mum Lahachis, Mum Lashabbos, Mum Lahazari, they're all Mum Lachol Tarakula, and they're all, you know, Mum Lachol Tarakula, and there's a question, what about Essen? Or what about Drabanans? Or what about Lavin Shein Bamisa? You know, and at what point can you still do tshuva? And when do you become a Gavra Mumar? You know, during the action, after the action, after two actions, after three actions, after some perceived communal pattern of actions. Right? These are questions that we're objectively asking in all these cases. Right? To say, oh, you know, whatever you say about one, you say about the other, because they certainly still have things in common. Right? But especially if the evidence is, you know, divided, and especially if it's very, very sensible, it's very sensible to say that Mumala Barzara and Bitsina in particular, you know, points to an earlier and more objective, you know, either Maisa Vera or Shame Gavra Russia issue. Whereas Michal Shabbos and the need for Farhesia and so on is more of a larger pattern, Gavra, maybe even more than a Russia, Gavra Bogade, a Gavra Michal Shabbos Befarhesia kind of a person. And therefore, that affects this question, right, in a much bigger way. We'll give you another example of something that comes up. Then we ought to talk about the Gemara Eruv, and I know we're a little over time. We'll try to finish up in the next 5 minutes. If you get a chance to look at it for next time, I'll talk about it quickly on Monday. There's a major debate between the Ksos and the Nesivos in Simin Nun Aleph. The Achronim, when they talk about these topics, connected. With regard to Eidos, a similar problem, right? Let's say, you know, you have, a Boin Kiachas question, right, in Eidos. mean, whatever the details will be, you look at the case there. So, is he pasul eidos only after, you know, we've closed the books on the Aveira? Right? When does he become pasul? You know, after one time? after three times? So the ksos, mostly, in Siman Nun Aleph, right, equates these questions. He says, whatever, you know, he starts quoting, you know, these makoros. Whatever is true in the din of, you know, Momila Kala Torah Kula, for, you know, for Avodah Zarah, for Shabbos and Parhesia, hu adin legabe eidos. And the Nesivos clearly is uncomfortable with this and disagrees. It says that the criteria are not necessarily the same. Again, when it comes to Eidos, I think you can make two distinctions. And this goes back a little bit to our discussion of the Rambam in Perek Dalet Hilchos Shechita. And that is, it's not clear that Eidos requires, right, a shame mumar. What Eidos really requires is a shame rasha, oyin bina kosa rasha. And that's kind of what the Rambam says. You can have people apostle Eidos, you know, but you don't even need Bedika Sakin in Shechita. He's not a mumar. That's what the Kesef Mishnah and the Radbaz and the Lechem Mishnah and the Mishnah Melech. Every single one of them says, well, what are we talking about? What's the difference? The answer is, one is a rasha, and the other is a mumar. To be a mumar, you need to do this more often. There is Hamamur L'Tayava. Right, that's also part of the thing. How many times to be a mumar L'Tayava? Right? Rambam seems to say that you have to have a pattern. He doesn't say how much. Is it the same as Lahakas? The same as Shabbos? The same as... Again, obviously, you know, depending on how you're looking at Mumar L'Tayavon and its relationship to the others, and how you're looking at Mumar Lahakas' relationship. Again, we don't need to, you know, do each one, but we get the idea. Not so pashut. So, when it comes to... This is a little bit of the interesting discussion in Rishonim and Erevin and Bechoros and Sanhedrin Chav Zayin. Sanhedrin Chav Zayin, Bechoros Lamed, Erevin Samach Tes Samad Aleph, trying to square Rava and Abaya in Eidos. So it sounds like an Eidos Mumar L'Tayavon might be worse than Mumar L'Hakas for pragmatic reasons, in terms of Chosher. But also in terms of this question, what you might say, there's two things. In Eidos, it depends on the Maisa Aveira. You did a Maisa Aveira Sheish Pamalkas. That gives you a Shem Rasha. Or since it gives you a Shem Rasha, you know, there's still a status question. The Maisa Aveira is now. That just gets you into a Boin Kiyachodesh. The Shem Gavra Rasha as a result of the Maisa Aveira could also be now, or maybe that takes, maybe that's the second after. Right? But either way, the Pashtus, you don't need a Shem Mumar. So is the Nesiva saying, I disagree with the Ksos, you can't compare these things, because the Maisa Aveira is Koveya, not the Shem Gavra? Or is he saying there's a difference between Shem Gavra Rasha, which is a one-time thing, and Shem Gavra Mumar? That's not so clear to me, if you look at the Ksos and Sivas. Now this question is a crucial question. There's still stuff to talk about the other answer, the Ramban, and so on. But, you know, the difference between Tumas Nevela and Heter Basar, which, by the way, again, Rabbi Kiveger assumes it's all this line in the Ramban, Rabban. Pashtus, it's Daraisa. The distinction between, you know, Tumas Masa and Achilas Nevela. And that's an important critical question for Yisrael Lafa Pishakati Yisrael, who, on a Daraisa level, which we will get back to. But in any case, this is, in terms of the Shem Gabra Rasha, you know, and how many times. So what I'm trying to say is, in addition, there are two questions here. One is the Basar that we discussed. The other is the Shem Omar, vis-a-vis other applications, as well as vis-a-vis the next Shechita. as far as that is concerned, there are different shitas. Now, you could say, like, let's say, what do you say for the Rambam and the Rashba and the first day of Tosis? Like, everything comes, even there's an Isur of the Achilles Basa. Well, you might say, because the Maisa Veira is what's Kovei the Shem Gavra, and the Shem Gavra is there. You don't have to say, you know, that everything depends just on the Maisa Veira. That's an interesting question. By the same token, if it's the Shem Gavra and even the Shem Mumar, you know, can you say that, so what's the debate, whether it's after time one, or it has to be two, or maybe three? Right, Tosar B'chanan in Avodah Zarah says three. Rajban Achuva, the Beis Yosef quotes also in Simen Kuf Yud Tes, right, says three. Some of the Rishonim in Avodah Zarah, other Rishonim, okay, Yosef, other, they say three. The Pashas of Tosas, it's two. Right, Tosas in Erevin also makes it sound like it's more than one. So let's just end by, so again, this debate, whether or not it's two, well, and I'm sorry, it's even coincidental and immediate, or it's the end of one, or it is two, or it is three. Is that a debate about, you know, you know, the Shem Gavra, the Shem Bogeid Mumar, the linchpin? Could be. Right? Or it just could be a technical question. Once you're after the, you know, the full act, at least, there could be a debate, and there could even be the view that certain averos can create a shame bogate or a shame mumar, you know, more quickly than others. That also might be the difference between mumila barazara and mumila kalas shabbos. Okay. So this, we're going to go through the Gemara in Erevin for a minute for two reasons, and then we will stop. Oh, you gave it to me, right? Not fair for me to call on you, or it's up there? Is up there. So what's the issue in Erevin?
The issue we're talking about.
What's the top? What's the subject matter?
Erev
Chatzeres. Same thing that we talked about when we talked about Kuti, which is why the Rishonim were troubled. Like, why do we need to say Kuti Ganachra? Correct? So there's a discussion whether or not if somebody's Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya, right, he is treated as a guy. And he's not mevatel rishus, but you'd have to be maskir, correct? Okay. So what is the Gemara? Let's just read very quickly. Oh, wait, 1 second. You're starting from there. Start. Yeah, start for a little early, if you don't mind. Omar Mar, quickly? Yeah, Omar Mar. Have you done Rabbi Loshen Acheres? Maru Basu Tzor. V'yosar Aleichem. Oh, so first of all, the language here. We're talking about the Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesya. The Gemara is calling Renachri. This is undoubtedly where the Rambam, I think Natan made this point to me, right? This is undoubtedly where the Rambam got, and the Gonim earlier, the license. Even though our Gemara only says Mumin L'Chalos the Shabbos and Mumin L'Chalot Arakula, with regard to Kuti Se'asol Kegoyim L'Cholat Dvarim, right? The Gemara Yivamos the parallel with Shvatim, but here the Gemara says that L'Chalos Shabbos B'Farhesya is Kenachri. The only problem is that the din here is a din d'Rabbanan. Similar to the problem we had in Kuti. So do we mean legabe this din derabanan, or do we mean even beyond? Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Look at the Kedusha say yeah. Okay. Iwa Isema. Okay, so that's very important. Come on, Ozla. And the Gemara says, Gili Ponim Mumar Hava. Yeah, and then Rashi points out, and most Rishonim, some Rishonim agree, some don't, that Rabbi Meir disagrees. That's what I meant before. Rabbi Meir holds that Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesya, you have the Rashi? No? Well, I have your, you know, I'm holding your Gemara hostage, so what are you going to do about that? Right? Dilu Rav Meir, Mumer L'chal Shabbos B'Farhesia, Mevat. Okay, go ahead. Kasia. He covered up. Right. Because I'm a Chal Shabbos B'Farhesia. Go ahead. Yeah. Now, what is this Reb Meir? This is another Reb Meir. Interesting. What is this? Is the Reb Meir in Bechoros. So, what's striking about this? Again, I don't have time to go into all the details, but what's interesting about this? The Gemara equate. What is the argument there? Yeah. You see it? You get it? Anybody? Azriel? Chashu the Davarecha. We know that. But what's the example? Excellent, exactly. You're a chashu the Shvias, or you're a chashu the Maestros. If you're a chashu the Tumar, you're a chashu the Shvias or the Maestros. That seems to be a debate between the Rab Meir and the Chacham. Correct? What's striking about it, Michael? That the Gemara brings here, that is not obvious to me, at least at all. Almost no one talks about it. The equation of mumar and chashud, right? Do they mean the same thing? One would have thought, and the Gemara there says in the Mishnah there that if you're a chashud, of course you can't be made and you're not neman. Okay, is that the same as being a mumar? For sure, it overlaps. And frankly. If you're going to call a Meshumad or a Mumar a Chashud, and even if you mean the same thing, you know, you've diluted, at least on a visceral, you know, descriptive level, Meshumad. Now we're saying it's a Chashud, it's unreliable. Chashud sounds like a practical problem. Either we're elevating Chashud and we're saying, well, we don't believe you, it's because there's a lack in your Gavra status, Chashud Harayuk Mishumad, or we're saying Mishumad Harayuk Chashud. In which case we're saying the inability to believe you is causing a lot of disruption by not, you know, the Gavra, you know, Mufkali Amri, right? So this idea, you know, that Reb Meir, Chashud Avrechad of Chashud, the Kol Torah Kula, is the equivalent to Mumar and Mishumad, which is what it sounds like in this Gemara here, very important. Okay? Also, this is the view, you know, that even with Teyavon, Pashtos, right, is what we talked about earlier. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Oh, so this is an important line. This is what I was talking about before, because it means that Rabbi Meir believes in Avodah Zarah. He's the opposite of Rav Hanan. Although we don't know what Rav Hanan might say, Kol Shekein, that there's no Shabbos. If you look at Rashi here, Dahu Vadai Chashud L'Kol Mili, what does he quote? Not our Gemara, but the Mechilta, right? You have it? The Amar Mar, Chamura Avodah Zarah, Shekol Amoda Ba Kekofer B'Chol HaTorah Kula, D'Chsiv V'Chisishku V'Lo Sasus Kol V'Psukim In Shlach, Ha'elu, U'Ba Avodah Zarah M'Shtoi Kra, V'Horios. Right? So basically, Rabbi Meir is saying, only Avodah Zarah. Why? Because it's Rechamur? Because of Maisa Veira? Because of Rish Sagavra? Or because of the linchpin? Right? This Kolamoda is a linchpin? In our Gemara, it certainly sounds like a linchpin. Even in the Mechilta, it sounds like a linchpin. It could also cover for Maisa Veira or Rish Sagavra. But, very important line of the Gemara. Rabbi Meir doesn't think, you know, like Rav Hanan, the Pashtos, that there's no single mitzvah, right, that's the call Torah Kula. Go ahead, I'm Rav Nachman by Yitzchak.
Rav Nachman by Yitzchak.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You know, quickly. I'm going to see Knilov, we should see Vitalisla. Oh, that's one view. So that still maintains the view that. Correct. Ravashi Amar. Oh, but even the language is significant here. That's what I wanted to point out. Meaning, what he means is, oh, Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, they're part of the same club? Or Shabbos, you know, is like Avodah Zarah. There are two levels. Right? Meaning they're the same, but it's a junior, or they're just different, but they're in the same club. That's where you get to the question, what about Parhesia? You know, what about how many times? You know, what about Essen, or Lavin, or Drabanans? Right? Okay. Kedetanya, they apply our part of argument. Mikem velo kochem. I can skip that because... Hagufakash, Shabbos, begin. Reishu b'mom l'chol Torah kula, mitziyasu b'mom l'chol. I can skip that. For the last line I'm interested in. Elalav ochi kamar, chutz min amumar l'naseich. I'll get a terrific line. Alma Vadazara Vishabis Kiadonin Shmamina. So you have different formulations in the Gemara itself. Only Avadazara? Shabbos is like Avadazara? Or Shabbos and Avadazara Kihadadininu. Okay? The other thing to point out very quickly is the discussions of Rashi and Tosis. Right? Tosis here discusses that according to Rashi, it seems like a mumar lechalel Hashabis Bidrabanan. Right, is enough to be considered a mumilachot b'farhesia, a mumilachot tarakula. He said that's what comes out from Rashi. So if it doesn't matter if it's a carmelis or a chotzer, anybody have that line? What? But Tosfos themselves say it's incorrect. They think that's not the issue between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda. First we'll read the Ri very quickly. Umefarish Ri. The Hakalav mitam mumar kalmar. Why? Was a key line. In the end of Tosfos in Masal Hotzi. Ah. Now that's a key line. That's where the Beis Hillel, quoted by the Be'er Heitev, also came up with this formulation. Right? A mumar lo shayich elab adam haragil. Ragil means how many times? We don't know. But it's a whole different... It's not a fluke. Right? L'chal shabbosos. Ve'eno nizar klal. We don't say that about Avodah Zarah. Aval hacha lo biragil ayri ela shebimikra bialma ira. Right? Now the next Tosis points out that according to Rashi, right, it sounds like afilu midah drabanan, chein mashma. Doesn't say hava hab farhesia hadaraisa hadrabanan. Tema the sam sedukein and izar bekol mili drabanan afilu befarhesia. And he ends up saying no, not true. They're worried about their jobs. They don't want to get ostracized, you know. So they won't do it b'farhes. But here's where the Bali. So some of the. This is where this whole discussion about mumar, b'drabanan is the mumar d'oraisa comes into play. They say, oh, but you see from some of the rishonim here that a mumar b'drabanan b'chal shabbos parhesia, if he is a mumar l'chal tarakula. So Rabbi Kineger says even those believe only legabe drabanans, which I think is very strange. Clearly, it's a machlokas harishonim. The ones who are cholek say, no, only legabe, the kind of saying what Rabbi Kineger is saying, legabe this particular din, meaning bitul reshus and eruv chatzeros. But bepashtus, and that's what the Beis Hillel and others say, they say, no, obviously, mikri mumar, or mikri mechal shabbos befarhesia, because it's a din in the gavra. Just the more you need rugil,
And what is Farhesia, by the way, if this will conclude? What is Farhesia? It doesn't say what Farhesia is. Not in Horios, not in Chulin, and not in Erevin. Make sure I give it back. I've been known to abscond with people's Svarim. So, what does it mean? How many people are Farhesia, and what are the conditions? I really apologize for coming too late, but I want to finish this off for one more second. So the Raivin and Kosev Shom in Erevin says 10, and others picked up on 10 as well. A lot of the poskim picked up. They didn't say for the Raivin, they got other people also say 10. But when the Raivin says 10, and they quote this, even the ones who don't quote it for the Raivin, they say 10. Why? Where does it come from? Interesting. Yeah? Kyle? Yeah, but from which paradigm? They quote Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, Yehari Val Yavar, where the Gemara seems to say you need 10. And then they go on to discuss, some of the poskim in Yoredeya discuss, do you need the presence of 10, or do you need 10 to hear about it? And so somebody mentioned to me the other day, maybe Moshe, yeah? He said Lechem V'Simla or something? Somebody said that? Oh, you mentioned to me. Yeah, so that's what I saw, the Prima Gaudim quote. I'm just not familiar with the Sefer. But I know it from the Prima Gaudim. So this is the question. Do you need 10 present or 10? The Meiri discusses this in the Sanhedrin Sugya. But again, in Sanhedrin, we're talking about Chilul Hashem. Right? Is that what we're talking about here? Nothing to do with the Chomer Aveira. Here we're talking about the Shem Gavra Mumar. It's a good paradigm. Could you be Machalek? Maybe you can get a, maybe it's... Jews and non-Jews, maybe it's hearing and not present. Maybe it's more than three, more than a mezumen. Just very interesting. The more we think, this is about, an attitude, more than particularly a ma'isa aveira, then these issues emerge. Okay, we'll try to finish all of this, if we can, on longer share, a little bit maybe on Monday. And good luck with the beginning of the Chazara.